When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Achtung Mobile, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a special edition, and it is a special edition of Achtung Mobile. It's actually rather non-football in tone. Joining me on this special edition is Mr. Carl Bates, well known to us all through iFollow. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Afternoon. Thanks for having us on again, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, this was an idea that actually you came up with after our conversation. We had a good conversation in a previous show, listeners, and Carl suggested that we do something separate regarding epilepsy, which we touched on really, Carl, in our previous conversation, didn't we? And it proved, I think, a little bit, you know, enlightening for people out there to discover about this condition.
Yeah, after the podcast that we did, I had a couple of people get in touch, just a couple of direct messages, just to say, you know, well done for talking about it. And there was somebody else just wanted to have a little chat about the condition itself, because that's something that they were living with. So, no, it always helps. Whenever I've spoken about it in the past, it normally rings a bell with somebody. So it's always worth doing, putting it out there.
So, we thought we'd take this chance just to have a conversation purely on the subject of epilepsy. So not going to touch on football in this particular edition. Carl, as you would have gathered, listeners, one of my first questions, Carl, actually, I might as well ask this question. Are you an epilepsy sufferer? Do you have it regarded as having a condition? How do you view it as a thing? I mean, I wrote Carl suffers with epilepsy, and I thought actually it maybe not be the best description of the situation.
It's something that the government have one minute they've called it a disability, then they've called it a condition, then it's gone back and forward. For me, it falls in between the two, because for me, I regard it as a condition. I haven't had a seizure now for over 5 years, which is right. Fantastic for me. But for some people, unfortunately, it is a disability. They may be having 20, 30 seizures a day that last quite a while. Unfortunately, it's affected them and hindered them learning various things. They've become, unfortunately, behind at school or have struggled to hold down a job due to the restrictions because of epilepsy itself. So for me, I always just have a cheesy little line for me that's epilepsy is a condition that I live with, not an illness that I suffer from. Because to me, that's how my life is. Yes, I have epilepsy. And when I first was diagnosed and had a couple of seizures, I did suffer from it. I was really nervous, really upset, concerned, scared. And so, yeah, it really affected me at the time. But because I've lived with the condition now, I was diagnosed when I was 23. People can, I suppose, mistakenly presume that people are born with epilepsy. And that isn't the case. Well, some people are, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people develop epilepsy. And yeah. Thankfully, because we're in the 21st century, medication is available and can help in quite a few, for a lot of people.
One of the things that really struck me, you know, I've been doing a little bit of reading. I'm not going to presume to be any kind of expert. I've been looking through the Epilepsy Society's website just to get a bit of a handle on it. And one of the things that struck me, even in a previous conversation, but especially just doing a little bit of prep for this, Carl, is we have a terrible habit of these words, this word called epilepsy, and there are others of different conditions, they kind of make an other somehow, that there's this other group of people that are called epileptics. And I was really struck by the early days of research going back into the 1880s, listeners here. There was, the Epilepsy Society was set up as almost as a kind of a colony, as they described it. It put me in mind of, the leper's colony or something, where people who are other go, that's separate from society. And yet it's actually quite a common condition, isn't it? I think they said one in 100, am I correct, in society?
Yeah, it is around that sort of figure. But yeah, I mean, as you say, if this had happened a long time ago, in regards to myself having epilepsy, you were classed as almost being possessed. There was something wrong. You know, they used to take you down the river and drown you because they presumed obviously something was wrong with you. You were possessed by the devil, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you mentioned it there. Yeah, it's one in every 103 approximately.
103.
People have epilepsy. So yeah, it is very common, but more and more people are now talking about it, and so hopefully people will become less scared, and there's no need for me to keep an eye out next time I walk past the duck pond, because I'll be okay. No one's going to attack me.
But no, I mean, the language of the times, and you know, I mean, it's 100 plus years ago now, but these things often echo down. It was that language of being possessed by the devil, or whatever, whichever way you want to put that, which is kind of amazing. But there we are. I mean, one other thing that really struck me is the commonality of it, but also there are many different types of epilepsy, and I don't propose to go too deeply into the many types that there are, because I became overwhelmed quite quickly reading it. But there are many different types. One that struck me is where the thing that I think almost all of us have probably experienced is a form of this condition, is when you feel like you're going to fall over in your sleep and you kind of jerk, and that's akin to some of these seizures that others call epilepsy. I thought, well, I've had that, I think most people get that at some point. It just makes it, you appreciate it's a common thing rather than a distinct other thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's five sort of main types of a seizure, and one of them is yourself like that. But I mean, it doesn't mean that every time somebody, as you say, falls and suddenly wakes up in the sleep, does not mean for one moment we've had a seizure. So don't panic if that ever happens to you at home.
It happens a lot if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, that can, but it's unlikely. You can get a sudden jerking or twitching of a muscle, which is when somebody has a myoclonic seizure. Myo being muscle, and clon from the clonus means jerking or twitching of a muscle. But the main five is tonic-clonic, like myself, the grand mal seizure that you would normally associate with an epileptic. One of the main problems, especially in children, is an absence seizure. Because if you're trying to learn academically, that can really hold you back if it's not diagnosed. Because if you imagine you're a child in class, and the teachers say, going through your 2x table. So you're sitting there and it'll be like 2x2 is 4, 3x2 is 6, 4x2, and then you have an absence seizure. You hear 4x2 is 12, and then it carries on. And then the teacher would ask you what 4x2 is. And with all the confidence in the world, you'd be saying 12.
You're
completely wrong. Your friends might laugh at you. The teacher's going to think that you're not as clever as you actually are. And so there's little problems like that that can be so minor in theory. The absence seizure is only 3 or 4 seconds, but that could really hold somebody back. And so that's one of the ones that has caused problems in the past for children especially. There's tonic seizures. Now a tonic seizure is where body, arms or legs will suddenly become sort of very stiff or tense. The person may be sort of half with it at the time. Usually happens when a person is asleep, as you mentioned earlier on. It's very short. It feels like you're falling. And obviously, if you have one of them when you're awake, you may well fall. But a strange one is in the tonic seizure. Now, that one is the opposite. Instead of going tense, you go very limp. You fall like a ragdoll. They have been called like drop attacks, which again could look like you're passing out. But if it's happening regularly, you'd go to the doctors, get your blood pressure checked, et cetera, et cetera. And they may diagnose you the other way. So that's another seizure that you don't really hear of.
Can I ask what kind of seizure you had when it hit you, Carl? You were 23, I think you said.
Yes.
What was your experience of it, and how did it come to you in that sense?
It was a tonic-clonic seizure was the one that I had. I was just sitting around my mother-in-law's, just having a cup of coffee and just having a chat, and Sal and her sisters were having their picture taken. And then I suddenly woke up in hospital. Apparently, I'd gone very tense, sort of the eyes in the back of the head, started biting on my tongue, shaking slightly. Not at my best, shall we say. I'm glad the camera was facing the other way, put it that way. So, yeah, but again, all I did was wake up in hospital moments later. So,
okay. So from in your memory, I mean, it was literally 1 minute everyone's having their photo taken and it's, you know, life is normal. And then literally you wake up in hospital. That's moment to moment. You have nothing, no lead in, no lead out of it in that sense.
No, nothing at all. I just remember vaguely sitting there, and then there's that huge gap in your timeline where, yeah, you do not, it's very scary. Only I think an epileptic can truly comprehend something like that, because it's just bizarre. Like, for example, at the moment I'm talking to you, and within a split second, there's no gap in the middle, and then I'm in hospital. And they did one interesting thing, because I was having my, well, they were having their pictures taken. You'd imagine that photosensitive epilepsy is something very common, because you hear about it all the time.
On the TV, that's right,
But it's actually only 5% of epileptics are actually sensitive to flickering lights or photosensitive epilepsy. It's a very low figure, but you naturally presume that it would be a lot higher.
There is a surge. I'm just reading from Wikipedia, listeners, so I don't think I'm Professor Hart or anything like that, but I'm just reading from the screen. So it's a surge in brain activity, literally electrical activity in the brain that for some reason, not fully understood, Carl, seems to surge, which is, and that, you know, then it takes its form in whatever way it comes out the other end.
The way I try and describe it is, if you imagine a phone switchboard that used to be used in the olden days where you'd see somebody plugging in people to talk to each other, if you imagine your brain's doing exactly the same thing, so it's plugged, it's keeping you going, so many things going on, it's telling you to breathe, to blink, to move your arm, to do this, to do that. So it's doing all of these things at once and then just misses the connection. So as you say, that electrical energy shoots to one area, and like with a computer, if you're doing too many things at once, it just
freezes.
Down.
Yeah, that's an analogy. How did, one thing I'm interested in, I mean, obviously that hit you, you know, at 23, you're clearly, you know, you're with somebody, you're in a social situation. How did you process this information that you were diagnosed now as an epileptic? That label is now attached to you formally. I mean, it must have been quite a difficult thing to absorb and to process, as the modern word has it. How did you find it?
Very hard, because, as you say, life suddenly changed forever in a split second. And you've no idea how really to deal with it. Something that I've been working with a few charities for is that aftercare service, because you have the seizure, you're in hospital, they check you to make sure that it hasn't been caused by a blood clot or something else that's going on up there. And then you get told, basically, you've had a seizure, we're not really sure why, we'll keep an eye on you, go get some rest, and we'll take it from there. And that's literally it. You are into an area they call idiopathic epilepsy. 70% of people, which I'm one of them, have all the people with epilepsy, 70% of them, like myself, have seizures, but nobody knows why, which is quite frustrating, because it's not like it comes under photosensitive epilepsy or it's caused by another condition, like, for example, maybe diabetes, if your blood levels, sugar levels, go into a certain percentage, nothing like that at all. And so you're suddenly sent home. You've got no brochures, no contact details. You're just sent home to sort of sit there, and you've no idea. And obviously, if you go on the internet, sometimes you can find out really helpful information. Sometimes it will scare the living daylights out of you. So something that we want to do is, I know it sounds daft, but literally one of those sort of leaflets. So you've had a seizure. Here's a piece of paper. This is what happened. These are the people you can talk to. Best of luck, you old scamp. And, you know, see how you go. Yeah, but you don't get that. And you should.
There's huge amounts of information. And this is now, what, 2020? So I'm guessing you would have had your first attack in your 20s, so about 20-odd years ago, I'm guessing, Carl. I'm trying to be delicate about your age, mate. Sometime in the mid-90s, I'm imagining, when the internet didn't exist, or if it did exist, it wasn't like we have now. So you would literally given a couple of leaflets and and sent on your way, pretty much. It's advanced from there. I mean, I sometimes wonder whether there's too much information. I was looking at it earlier on, and your mind becomes befuddled quite quickly with the sheer volume of terminology that's on there. One of my hopes by doing this little show is it somehow, I don't know if they're going to find the right word, but it demystifies it slightly for people that may have it in their lives or be aware of it in their lives, because you look at these websites and you become overwhelmed quite fast, I find.
Well, one of the sad things is that, I mean, this was a YouGov survey a few years ago that was taken, that two-thirds of epileptics are uncomfortable talking about their condition with their employer.
Yeah.
And I think it's just over 25% of those workers in the UK are concerned about working with somebody with epilepsy. And the main reason was because they wouldn't know what to do if a co-worker had a seizure. And so the very simple thing there is, if the person that had the condition was confident enough to talk about it, then the people that are worried about the person with epilepsy would know what to do, and then problems are solved all at once.
But yeah, I mean, this was my experience. Yeah. And I think we mentioned this previously, so apologies to listeners if I'm repeating myself. But I mean, I have worked with long while ago now with a chap who had a seizure, and there is a... lack of knowledge is the thing, Carl, isn't it? Because you don't know what to do in that moment. You're seized by what do you don't want to do wrong, basically. So you don't, you try and do your best. But I think the demystification, and as you say, the ability to probably be upfront. I mean, the employment side I was going to ask you about, because obviously you need to let your employer know, because there's a safety issue for your own point of view and possibly for others. But I can imagine it can be quite a difficult conversation to have with an employer, because you don't want to put your own job in jeopardy, do you?
No, true. And some people do hide it because, one, the embarrassment of the condition itself. Two, you may feel that you would be discriminated against when somebody's looking to employ somebody. If there's you and another candidate that are pretty close, if you mention you've got epilepsy, that could be the turning point for your chances. And definitely I'd imagine it would go against you. I mean, you hope it wouldn't. And I think once the person, whoever that may be employing you, once they get to know you, would feel, I mean, I've always got people to know me first and then explain the condition. I wouldn't want to go to a company as Carl the epileptic. I'd rather they get to know Carl. Oh, yeah. He has epilepsy, try and make the difference, but put them back together again pretty quickly. Because as you rightly say, if you do have a seizure at work, somebody needs to know how to look after you, or if there's, say a fire drill, if something, if you're hampered quite severely by the condition, you may need to have almost somebody that looks out for you. So if you're going into a highly stressful situation, you may have a higher chance of having a seizure. So you just need somebody to keep an eye out for you when people are evacuating a building, or when you're working on machinery, etc., etc. These just little things have to be put in place. I mean, I do things that nobody else would notice, as in I always hold the handrail if I'm on an escalator or going down the stairs.
Right.
If we're having a barbecue at home, I won't do the cooking because nobody wants a quarter pounder with Bates. If I have a seizure and smack into the barbecue, when I get on the tube, I'll always get on last, let the train pull in, let everybody pile on, and I'll get on last. The odds are slim, but you don't want to tempt fate, be standing right at the front and then you have a fit and end up straight in front of the train. So little tweaks like that.
You've stolen my question then, because I was going to ask how you manage it day by day as part of your everyday life, and you've touched on it sounds like you develop habits of behaviour that in some might say, well, that's a kind of, I don't know what, the finicky approach to life, but yeah, actually it's got a very practical logic behind it, that you're trying to minimise the effects of this potential thing happening to you.
Yeah, and I mean, we spoke about it briefly on the last podcast that we did together, but just in case people didn't listen to that, very few, and obviously millions.
If not, why not?
That's putting that too. But that's your homework for the weekend. But in regards to what to do if somebody does have a seizure, it's really, really simple how to look after somebody. You basically help them to the floor, move everything out of the way, allow them to have the seizure. Once they've finished the seizure, put them in the recovery position and then call an ambulance. Or if you have two or three people there, get them to call an ambulance. And once the person starts to come round, they'll be very confused, There could be a whole range of emotions that come out. They could be quite angry, upset, a bit of both. So just keep them calm and just talk to them. If you can, I don't mean hold them down, but just keep them calm. If they keep them lying down or at best sitting up, because people may feel they're okay, but they could still be extremely groggy from the seizure, or they may go into another seizure. Now, if they do, do not worry. They're not multiple fitting. It's classed as putting it under one umbrella. It's still classed as a seizure, but you may have a couple of them. And as long as they're regaining consciousness in between them, that's absolutely fine. But if you're on the phone to the emergency services, they'll be able to explain everything to you anyway. But the simple thing is, help them to the ground, move things out of the way, leave them to it, recovery position afterwards.
That's it.
No thrills. That simple.
I think that's always good advice. It's in the moment. It's just keeping all of that in mind. I mean, there's a lot of information online about it, listeners. I have had a quick look to prep for the show. Which organisation do you support, Carl? I mean, I know that you're an epileptic a representative. Was it? Or was an ambassador? An ambassador. Mm-hmm. Which organisation do you represent?
Mainly Epilepsy Action. That's the one that I do talks for around the country. And I also do some work with Young Epilepsy, which is a wonderful charity down near Lingfield Park, where they have kids there that unfortunately do suffer with the condition, I would say, more than live with the condition. Some of them live on site. It's like a university campus, but there's no age. Basically, the classes are rated on your ability due to the conditions. You quite often see children of age 7 and 8 in classes with children of age 15, 16. And the people that work there are fantastic. They follow the kids around, try and let them lead as natural life as they can. But occasionally they'll see the trigger that the child's about to have a seizure and be on hand to help them, and then help them once they come around to carry on their day. So that I quite often pop down there and hand out programs, anything I can get my hands on, team sheets, bits and bobs like that. Because the kids love it. You know, kids love football. Doesn't matter. Everybody loves football. So, they love having, you know, me go down there and flannel on about stuff. We've done a couple of penalty shootouts down there where I've done a bit of commentary, and they're running around like they've scored the winning goal in the World Cup. So, yeah, worth doing. That's really good. And Epilepsy Action have been great, allowing us to organise events. Funnily enough, we did one in Birmingham. We had a load of kids come down there. We did a little five-a-side tournament for them. Leon Legg was going to come down, the Port Vale defender. He also has epilepsy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Right.
Yeah, Leon does. We've done work together for years. That's how I got to know Leon, through Epilepsy Action and Young Epilepsy. And he was going to come down for the day, but he couldn't, I think, change the fixture list around just for a change. So he couldn't make it. But they had a really good time down there. So, yeah, no, it's good. I've met some really incredible people through the two charities. They're far more worthy of being on this earth than most of us mere mortals, put it that way. They do some incredible work there.
I've just done a search on Google, listeners, for under Epilepsy Action, and the website, it will come up if you Google search it. It's www.epilepsy.org.uk. And it looks like there's a lot of info on that website, and there are others too out there.
Oh, there's loads. Absolutely.
You won't if it's an issue in your life or those around you, their lives, you won't go short of information, that's for sure. And Carl, I know that you don't turn away anyone that contacts you by DM on this kind of thing.
No, absolutely fine.
And you know, hopefully, this little show will reach any, you know, people that may need to hear it. I certainly hope so.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to After Millwall.
Carl, what's the impact on your family? I mean, obviously, you know, you've had it for some 20-odd years now. That's a long time for those that are around you to be living with a situation like this. How has it been for, you know, your partner, kids, and wider family?
Yeah, it's not easy. A lot of people think, oh, Carl, he has epilepsy. But no, it's not just myself. My wife, my son, and family, they all have epilepsy to an extent too.
Yeah.
Because they're always keeping an eye out for me, or they hear the bad news of what's happened to me, and then they're all set back as well. And my wife sleeps a lot lighter now than she used to, because the last seizures that I've had were when I were asleep. And I'm naturally a fidget anyway, which obviously doesn't help the situation. So I'll just fidget in bed and she'll be, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm fine. And then I get a bit riled by it, because then I get quite nervous. Oh, God, did I do something? Was I doing something? And, you know, but that only happens occasionally now, because it's been a long period of time since I've had a seizure. But if that had been a month or two afterwards, we both don't sleep well for a while. And one of the hardest things I'd say would be trying to explain to my son about me being epileptic. My son's 10 now. Yeah. I chose to tell him when he was 6 about the condition, in case we were home alone and heaven forbid I had a seizure. So I sat him down, and kids naturally presume, for whatever reason, that your parents are invincible. You know, they presume that mum and dad are fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing ever going to go wrong with them.
Yeah.
And so having to sit him down and go through the condition that I have, what would happen, so on and so on. And you could see the fear in his eyes as I'm explaining this to him, and he started to well up a bit. But we went through it. And we now make a game of it. We call it epilepsy. We really should think of a better name. But basically, we just put some music on. We dance around like idiots. And no, I'm not putting this out on TikTok or something. I'm not one of them.
We don't do TikTok on this show.
No. I wouldn't even know what it is. I just presume it's my dodgy stopwatch that I use. So we'll dance around. And then I'll suddenly go, oh, no, that doesn't feel well. And then I'll lie on the floor and I'll shake a little bit.
I know. You're scaring me, Carl.
Things we do. And so I said, oh no, Dad doesn't feel well. And then Ed will go through what he needs to do. So he'll get a pillow, put it under my head just to help in case I'm banging my head on the floor. So just put a little cushion under there, and then goes and calls the ambulance. And then I always make him reel. He reels off our address to make sure they know that.
Okay.
And he knows that, for example, with our house, the front door, the key's quite high up, but it'd be better for them to come in through the patio doors at the back of the house. So he knows that he has to explain to the ambulance, the 999 emergency services, where they need to go and do this and do that. And so then when we've gone through it that way, I'll just make sure he's done it correctly. And then he gets all excited. Well, my turn, as if it's a game. So then he lies on the floor and shakes around, giggling his head off. And then I have to go through the routine, but then I'll on purpose make mistakes and he'll try and pick you up on it.
That's a good game. Yeah. I like the sound of that game.
Yeah.
good on him.
Yeah, he seems to enjoy it.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that helps us anyway. So now he knows what to do, which I think, I mean, hopefully he'll never have to go through that, because obviously it'll be far scarier than us messing about. But I'm confident that he would know enough to keep me safe and also, you know, do what's right sort of thing. So,
fantastic. Good boy. Good boy. Carl, that's great stuff. I've enjoyed this episode. We're going to repeat it from time to time. I'll put it out on social media from time to time, listeners. Just going to read out the Epilepsy Action website, www.epilepsy.org.uk. A Google search on the word epilepsy will turn up loads of help and support. And Carl, you're happy to give advice via DM on Twitter? Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. If anybody who knows yourself wants to get in contact via you to me, that's absolutely fine. You've got my contact details. So yeah, get in contact with me via Twitter or DM me that way, and then I can, if need be, we can have a chat over the phone or something. So yeah, no, absolutely fine.
That's great stuff. So big thank you to Carl Bates. Thank you for being so open and willing to talk about this, Carl. I've started with my lack of knowledge, and I think I've probably got a little bit more knowledge now at the end of the conversation, but it's an interesting thing to talk about, and I really appreciate your willingness to, you know, to share this condition with us. So thank you for that, mate. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for giving me the platform to be able to tell people about the condition that's very misunderstood. So the more people that talk about it, hopefully the easier it is, and it's more diluted and spoke about more often.
Great stuff.
Thank you for listening to Acton Mobile. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. I'm River Direction Mobile. Till next time.